excited to be back. Stephanie probably ain't. She's at work, but I'm excited to be back. I've told some of y'all my airplane stories, but I appreciate y'all praying for me. The airplanes did make it down there and back, obviously. Had a few issues. I was telling some of them that was here early this morning. Of course, all of y'all know that I don't like to fly, and the reason God made me so short is I don't like heights at all. And we got to waiting on the plane Friday morning to leave Atlanta, and the plane was late. And plane finally got there. We rushed. The people rushed off the plane. We rushed on the plane. Pilot never spoke to us, so we got up in the air, and then he come on and told us his name and all this stuff like they do, and told us the reason the plane was late is because the battery was dead. And that didn't help my feelings any, because I wanted them to tell me that they fixed the problem, what caused it to be dead. So we got over that, went on a trip, and sat in Miami Airport. Plane gets there. You know, we get on the plane to come home. We keep sitting there, He never pushes back. So finally he comes on, and he tells us that they have a wire in the cockpit that's got to be taped up before we can leave. And so we sat there, and I'm trying to figure out how to not have a heart attack at this point. And finally he comes on and says that no one still came. We've been sitting there about 45 minutes, and he says someone's on the way. He says, I am required to tell you, if you do not feel comfortable flying on this aircraft, you can disembark at this time. So I kind of looked around to see if anybody else was going to move, and they didn't, so I decided I was in there for the long haul. So Lord kept us safe. We made it back, had a good time. So appreciate your prayers. Appreciate you allowing me to do that. We got to go see some beautiful sights, see some things, and spend some time together. So after about 3 days, we was ready to come home, and was missing our kids. We were so homesick. Imagine that. But I appreciate that. And this morning, before we get going, I'd like to welcome our visitors. Just make yourself at home this morning. Lord leads you to do something, just feel at home to do it. Anything he says in order this morning. So excited about what he's doing in our church, in our community, and excited about just being able to be a part of it. So do we have any prayer requests this morning before we go into our service? Any prayer requests? Remember the ones that I know we got. I was thinking this morning, we've got several in our church now that has to work about every other Sunday, so remember those. And poor old Lee's been working forever, and Misty's just spending all of his money. So y'all pray for Lee. But Lee's been on 7 days a week now for months, so y'all remember him. Of course, Jody and his wife have to work every other, so Stephanie has lately since they lost an employee. She's having to work a lot of call-on shifts, so y'all remember her, and I know a lot of others have to work. So remember them, because I know they desire to be here, and they miss us when they're not here, and we miss them, so pray for those. We have the ones still going for treatments for cancer and different things. Remember those. Cancer is a disease that touches every family. There's not a family in here that's not touched by cancer some way or somehow. So pray for that, and just pray that that God would touch in those situations. Do we have any more? Pray for my dad. When we was gone, he had a fall and had broken some bones in his nose. And he's recovering nicely. He's back driving and doing things. So I appreciate y'all praying for that. Any others? Have no others. Keith, Nancy, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we're so thankful for a time that we can come together. Father, now as we have, these names have been mentioned, Father, we pray that you would be with these individuals. Just lift up your family to you. Our Father, now as we go into our worship hour, song service, and if Chad brings the message, that we would open our mind and hearts to your will, your way, this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's stand and join us in our call to worship.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I wanna be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem, oh, hear the heavens ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise, and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. seated above, enthroned in the Father's love. Destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory is yours.
Good. good song service this morning. Had a great time in Sunday school and ready to go. And see, we got most of our people back from Tuscaloosa yesterday. Had some went down there for the A game. And I actually went to Auburn Friday night. We moved Amberly's stuff back home. And I found out one reason. I'm glad I'm an Alabama fan. We was down there. Turn this thing on. Always turn it off some way. But we was down there and we left in a rush after work to go down there and get the furniture. So she said it was a good place to get a burger there as you on Sugar Jordan, whatever it is down there. And so we turned in there to get a hamburger, walked in and ordered, and Ashton goes up and asked the lady, said, "Do y'all have cheese fries?" She says, "No, we don't have what it takes to melt cheese." All I could say was, "Roll Tide." I just had to keep my tongue, Rudy. It was so I've been around Rudy so much, I just wanted to lash out a little bit, you know. But I thought that was funny. I know what she meant, but it was a simple problem to solve. But this morning, if you got your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter number 51. Psalms chapter 51. Very, very familiar story. This is a psalm of David. David penned this psalm down after his great sin that he had committed with Bathsheba. And it's something, I pinned down a couple things this week that's missing from our churches, that's missing from our personal lives, that's missing from Christians in general today. There's a lot of stuff that's missing that used to be there in the biblical times and on up through history, and we've gotten away from it. We think we've gotten so sophisticated these days that we are smarter than God, but I hope you see this morning that we're not. We all are sinners. We're some of us saved by grace. I hope all of us in here are. If not, bless God, we can be. But we have gotten away from some things, and David had gotten away from some things in his life that he had to come back to after he was had committed this terrible sin. And if you're not familiar with it, David, he was King David. He was the most powerful man in the land, and he saw a woman that he desired to have, and anything that David desired, he could have it. He could get his hands on it. If his eyes saw it, it could become David. So he saw this other man's wife who was taking a bath, and he desired to have her, and he didn't stop at any cost to get her. And it was one of the greatest sins ever committed that we read about in the Scripture, but yet it was from a man that God says is after his own heart. So it lets us know today that even being God's and being saved, we still get into situations that we need cleaning up. And you never see it anymore. I can remember when I was first in church, I can remember people coming down to an altar and crying out in forgiveness, wanting forgiveness from God. Even that was in the 90s, and I've heard people talk about in the 70s and years past of how they would come down and they would cry out to God. Now, we're at a place where you never see that anymore. So one or two things has happened. Either we have quit sinning, which we know that that's not the truth, or we have quit confessing, we have quit repenting, we have quit coming clean before God, and it may be the reason we don't see churches having any power any longer with God, because God's not going to use a dirty vessel. He's not going to use someone dirty. Now, he can use someone who has been dirty, but they must be cleaned up. And David realized this, but I want you to see a few things this morning that are missing from the church in Psalms chapter 51, verse 1 through 19. I'm going to begin reading. I want you to think about this. We're going to read this kind of slow because I want you to understand these verses that was coming right from the heart of David as he was pinning them down. And this was truly a man who was broken in his sin. And that's something you never see anymore, is a man broken by sin. Now listen to this. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou walls, Jerusalem. Then thou shalt be blessed with be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I ask you for just a few minutes, Lord, if you would come into our presence, God, and visit with us this morning. Lord, I ask you to touch hearts. And Father, if there's any of us in here, Father, that has a sin, that's so ingrained in us, God, I pray that you break us this morning. Father, I pray that you show it to us, that you let us know that we stand before you as dirty people, and God, that we must be clean if you're to use us. And God, I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You see, the first thing that I think is missing, the way that David came to realize where his sin was David was confronted. David was confronted by a man named Nathan. Now, this is something that will get you thrown out of churches today, is confronting people about sin. It'll get you thrown out. They don't want nothing to do with you. And if you preach against it, then surely you must hate people and all this stuff. And I want to tell you something. We are living in a time when people do not want to hear the truth. The Bible said these times was coming. I went a couple places, and I've joked about it this week, but I went some places. I saw some very ungodly things on my trip, and I was sitting there in line one day waiting to do something. I began to think, as I was watching people around me, that surely the meaning of that verse, it says that the way is narrow, and few they are that'll find the way. Because listen, there is a ton of people that live in our communities, that live in our country, that live all around us, and very few find the way to Christ. Very few. The Bible says that the way to him is narrow, and few want to go therein. But listen, people don't confront anybody anymore. And David was confronted of his sin, and God sent a man to do this. It's still the way that God does this morning. If a preacher comes to you and tells you, now listen, most people, and I wouldn't set you apart and come to you and embarrass you in public, but it's my job as a pastor and as a preacher to preach to you the truth. And if anything in this truth hurts you, I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to let the word do what it is to do, because I promise you, if we all have sin in our life, which we do all have sin in our life, then times have come that this thing is going to hurt. And this is where David was this morning in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, verse 1 through 14. We see David is confronted by this man named Nathan, who actually was a great friend of David. Now you say, a great friend of David come and told him what he was doing wrong? Yes, that's a great friend. If you've got a great friend today, a great friend is one who will show you where you're wrong. A great friend is one who will try to correct you when you're out of the way. So yes, this truly was a great friend. It says, the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nursed it up, and grew it with him and with his children. He did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die, and shall surely restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered unto thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord, and done evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, give them to the neighbor. He shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child, to blaspheme. And the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. This is where Nathan had confronted David about his great sin. He came to him and just honestly put it before him and said, David, you have sinned. You have failed, David. You have come short of God's glory, and you must repent of this sin. And listen, church members, I'm here this morning to tell you, I don't know what's in your life, and you don't know what's in my life, but because we're all humans, I want to report to you today that you have sinned. That you have sinned. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now listen, I love every single one of you, and I love you too much to lie to you. So the truth of this matter is it's time that we as a church, that the whole church of Christ and everybody that claims Christ to be their Savior comes clean before Him. And until we do this, we will not see any power. We will not see any changing. We will not see anything happen because we all got this sin harbored up in us. Now listen, David had gone almost a year since this great sin. He had gone almost a year since he had committed this. And don't you think David probably was like I do and like you do. He'd probably say, uh-oh, I got away with this one. I got away with it this time. I'd heard an old preacher preach about it. I had read those old scriptures, and it says that the sin will find you out. And I read all this, but listen, a year almost has been by, and I still haven't had to pay for that sin. Boy, am I something. And then here comes his buddy Nathan and looks him dead in the eyes and says, David, you are the man. You are the one who is guilty. You are the one who has done these great trespasses. And I began thinking about this as I was studying that this week. And listen, I began to think about my own sin and the things I've done towards God. And listen, I become broken and heartbroken that I have done these things. And we all should get to this point. And until we do, we will not see a change. But that's something you never see today is people confronting others about sin. We don't want to hear about it. We don't want to go nowhere where it's preached about. We don't want to go to a class where it's taught about. We don't want to go anywhere around it because what I'm doing must be right. The Bible says there's a way right unto which man is, but that way is death. The only way is God's way. The only way is God's way. Now listen, this story in Psalm 51 was penned down by David. It's about a man who's after God's own heart who got away from God. But this same principle, the same application, goes towards lost sinners who never have known Jesus Christ. But never have known Him. They have sinned. There's no righteousness inside of you. There's nothing good. There's no way you'll ever inherit heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing you from all sin. There is no other way. Amen. So Nathan confronted him. He come to him and just told him the plain truth. If Nathan had been in most Baptist churches today, Nathan would have been voted out this evening. If Nathan had been in most other China churches throughout our land, he wouldn't have had no church members the next Sunday. He wouldn't have been real popular because he simply told the truth. And Nathan was just a mouthpiece of God. He was just a man, a prophet that God used to come to David and to tell him the truth. Now listen, before I was called to preach, I thought preachers were something special. I thought there's no way I could ever do that. God gives them some kind of special something. They're this. They must never have a struggle with sin. And boy, when I became one, guess what? We're just as sorry as you are. We have just as many failures as you have. And matter of fact, I think I've been tempted with more things since my call to preach than I ever was before. I think there's more temptations come. I think there's more of those fiery darts are fired at us. And the more I come to realize something that in myself is nothing good. The only good in me is Jesus Christ. The only good that can be is Jesus Christ. And listen, there's times that even I and you and whoever else is in here, we must be confronted about sin. If it's wrong, brother, stand up and say it's wrong. Because we're coming into a new 2018 and everybody's supposed to accept everything. And bless God, don't tell somebody they're wrong because it's going to hurt their feelings. We even have t-ball players who have to get a trophy. Everybody has to get a trophy. If not, they get their feelings hurt because they wasn't treated fairly and everybody's a winner. And listen, that's hogwash. I don't know how I got on that, but it's true. Listen, when you be confronted, life is hard. You're going to fail. You're going to come short. There's going to be times you're going to win. There's going to be times you're going to fail. I'll give you a great example. It was Ashlyn last Thursday night. We was at the ball game, little 12-year-old softball game. If you've ever been to one, most of the time you just see mainly walks or a lot of them strike out, different things, but it's fun to watch. And we was there, and she had a good hit the Friday night before, and we was off on a trip and didn't get to see it. So she was excited to show me how she could hit the ball. So she got there the first time, the little girl walked her. And she got there the second time, and she struck out. And I was helping coach a little bit, so I walked into the dugout, and she was there crying. And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I'm terrible. I'm terrible. Because I walked one time, and I struck out." She got up next time the bat and hit a home run. Listen, I was thinking as she did that, it's a lot like life. There's times we down, there's times we strike out, there's times we fail before God, and there's times we feel like we've hit a home run for the Lord. But listen, of all these times, it's simply life. And there's times that we need confronting about our sin? Would he be told plainly what has happened? So here they did that. But not only is confronting missing in our day, confessing is missing in our churches. Confessing. Listen to what 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, according to that verse, y'all help me if I'm wrong, but if you're going to be forgiven of those sins, you must confess them before God. That's what the scripture says. You must confess those sins before God. Listen, you don't have to confess them before me. I'm not a priest to go in and hear your sins as certain denominations do. That's not what the Bible teaches. It says we can go to the great high priest and take our practices before him and show him and lay it out and ask him forgiveness of those things. So that's what we should be doing daily. But when is the last time you saw people come before God and cry out and confess their sins? We think we got them hid. We think we've got them where nobody can see them. There's nobody knows about that. I deleted it. There's nobody knows about that. I didn't tell anybody about it. There's nobody that knows any of that stuff because I put it behind me. Nobody knows anything about that. And we're sitting here, got all this sin harbored up in us, and we can't run the race because we weighted down by this stuff. And Jesus is sitting there wondering, why won't we just come and confess it? Why don't we do that? Why do we carry it around with us? The Bible teaches that once we confess it, it's gone. It says he throws it to the sea of forgiveness as far as the east is from the west to be remembered no more. Once you confess that sin to God, he forgives you of it. That sin is gone. Don't mess with it no more. Don't deal with it no more. Don't let it hold you back. Don't let it hold you down. You go forward from that sin because no longer does it bind you. You have been set free. But you must confess it. When's the last time you come before God and confessed your sins? Confess them. I'm talking about poured it out before him. Just had a good old cry. I was watching Family Feud the other night. It's amazing where you get a message from. I was watching Family Feud the other night, and one of the questions on there in the 22nd period, or whatever they call that, was when's the last time you had a good cry? When's the last time you got a good cry? And I began thinking about that and thought, man, you know what? It's been a while, but we're men. We're not supposed to do this. I want to tell you something, man. I believe with all my heart that King David was more of a man than anybody sitting in this building. I believe he was a strong man. I believe he was a warrior. He killed ten thousands and thousands of men. He slew great armies and all these things. But I believe with all my heart when King David penned down Psalms 51, I believe there was some tears in his eyes, Terry. I believe he was weeping. I believe he was on his hands and knees before God. I believe he was crying out for forgiveness. And David was broken and confessing his sins before God. Listen, men, it's okay to cry. It's okay to come before God brokenhearted. It's okay to come because according to the scriptures, that's what's acceptable to him. You remember what David said in that psalm? He said, a broken and a contrite spirit is what God accepts. So it's time that we confess before God our sins. And let me let you in on a little secret. He knows them anyway. He already knows all of them. He knows everything you've done, everything you will do, everything in the past, everything in the present, and everything in the future. He already knows about it, so you might as well confess this to him, ask you to clean you up, and go forward from this thing, and get right with him. And get right with him. Think about what liberty there is. Anybody remember when they was a kid? When they was a kid and they done something to mom and daddy, or done something to belong to daddy, and boy, how hard it was. You didn't want to look daddy in the eye. You didn't want to have nothing to do with him. You didn't want to be around him because you thought daddy might find out. And oh, if daddy only knew what I've done, he'd be in so much trouble. I remember one time my daddy had an old Ford pickup he'd restored. It was sitting out in the yard, red and white. Boy, it was beautiful. And he had put new windows in it, had new dual exhaust put on it, and chrome wheels. Man, that thing was sharp. And me and my brother was out in the yard one day, fighting probably, and I picked up a rock and I went to sling that thing. Have you ever known when you let go of something it was bad? The minute it left my hand, I said, oh Lord, that thing went right into daddy's windshield and broke it. And I remember for all that day, oh, I was in a mess. What am I going to do? Oh, I began looking around at the limbs. I started to go break off all the big ones and throw them away. I know I'm going to get beat when daddy gets home. Boy, it's going to be bad. I just can't. And as soon as daddy pulled up, you know what I did? I thought it's probably going to be better than I get him before mama does. So daddy pulled up. I run out to daddy's car. And I said, daddy, you're going to be mad, but I broke your window. And he wasn't happy, but I didn't get beat. I didn't get whipped. I never did get beat coming up. I did get whippings I deserved. But listen, when I went and confessed it to him, daddy understood something. I was sorry of it. He understood I didn't mean to do it, that I slipped up, that I made a mistake. Now listen, when we sin before God, We can't say this is a mistake, it's a sin. You know why? Because if you're saved today, the Bible says you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, and it says it acts as a nervous system for us. It lets us know we're about to sin before we do it, and the sad thing is I go right ahead and do it knowing it's wrong. Now, sin before my Father, the only way to be made right is come tell him about it. Confess it to him. Listen, you need to confess it to him. Confess it. It's a work of God that has to take place. You see, a preacher can preach 100,000 words about why you should confess to God, about why you should pour your heart out to God. Somebody can confront you about this, and you won't do it. You will not come to God. You will not be confessing unto him. You will not be pouring your heart out until the Spirit of God pricks your heart and speaks to you. Now, there's nothing I can do. I can't coerce you into doing this. I can't say any magic words to make you broken and come down here. And many times, preachers try to do that. They try to create the Spirit of God. Listen, unless the Spirit of God smokes your heart and smokes you of that sin, you cannot be broken. It is an act of God. It's an act of God. How do I know? Because God sent Nathan to David. Do you realize what he told him? He said, David, this ain't me. He says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. You want to see it? It's in verse number 7. He said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. This is what God says, David. God says you have sinned. You need to confess it. You need to get it out before him and come clean before him. But listen, not only are we not confronting, not only is there no confessing, there's no conversions. There's no conversion. People cannot be converted without confrontation and confession. It is impossible. We have a lot of confessions today without any conversion. We have a lot of confessions. Now listen, David did not need to be saved again. David was a child of God. David was a man after God's own heart. David fell short of the glory of God. Yes, he did. David sinned. David, he committed adultery. He committed murder. He was the worst sin you can even think about. But listen, he was still God's at this point. And he didn't have to be saved again. He didn't have to do any of that stuff. He did have to come confess his sins before God would ever use him again. Yes, he had to do that. But listen, this applies to sinners today that does not know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You cannot, if you got a confession that you've been saved, then brother, that's going to be a conversion. Something had to happen. You had to be converted. You had to be changed from that person you are to where you're now. Listen, David shows us a little sign of this, Psalms 51:10. Listen to what he says, what's going to happen. Whenever he does this, it's created in me a clean heart, O God, new me a right spirit within me. And listen, when that happens, you can tell the difference. When somebody has a new heart created in them and a spirit's renewed in them, you can tell the difference. And you realize the reason that David cried out and he wanted God to heal him and God to cleanse him and God to make it all better is because David realized something. His main job on this earth was not to kill armies, was not to be the king of Israel, but was to convert lost sinners unto God. How do I know that? He says it in that song. He says, if you created me a right heart and a right spirit, then will I convert sinners unto you. I want to tell you something. The reason that lost sinners today are not being saved in our churches and they're not being saved in our workplaces and all this stuff is because we've got church members with unconfessed sin in their lives. And the big reason is because they have not been confronted. Nobody has been man enough to stand before them and tell them that it's sin and to tell them that it's wrong and to tell them that it's all of that is not right. I'm going to give you a little example. I was down there in South Beach, Miami, Friday night. I didn't know what I was on South Beach. I thought it was rich folks. I was going to be like one of them. So I rented me a $15 car. We drove down there. We drove down there and got there, and it was about like Key West. It's a big haven for homosexuality. I don't think we should hate that. I know no more than that we all got sin. Listen, don't get me wrong and say that I hate them. I do not. I think we need to show them love. I think we need to preach love unto them. I think we need to help them. I think we need to show them here. But listen, we do not have to accept that sin. We do not have to accept it. We don't have to accept my sin of any sin I've got. We don't have to accept your sin. And we don't have to accept that sin. And in the country we're living in today, if you don't accept that, you hate them. And you hate it. But listen, as we're going through there, they had all this stuff in the windows of their colors. You know what it means when you see it. And right there, they had a little shirt on this mannequin, and it was kind of funny, and I catch myself giggling, but they had a mannequin of this big old built-up man with muscles bigger than Blake's. And on here, this man had on a cut-off shirt that had this little sign they use, and it said, be true. Be true. And of course, the preacher in me begins coming out, and I'm thinking, brother, there ain't no truth in that. There ain't no truth in it because Jesus says, I am the truth. He says, I am the truth. And listen, that's completely against the word of God. All sin that we commit, yes, that's against God. That's just one of the many. And again, I'm not saying any hate towards them. I'm saying we should love them. We should pray for them. We should be there for them. Teach them the word of God. But it's become so accepted in our nation and even inside our churches and in other places this stuff is accepted. It's not right before God. And listen, it's time that we come before, confront people with it, tell them the truth. And listen, it's up to them to change, and God to prick their heart and them to say yes to the Spirit of God and to be changed. And the reason this is not happening is because we are not confronting them, and because we are not confessing our sin, and because we don't confess our sin, we're not clean before God, people are not being saved. Let me ask you this. You don't have to answer it because I wouldn't want to answer it. When's the last time you told somebody about the love of Jesus Christ? When's the last time you told somebody about what Jesus could do for them? You know why you hadn't? You know why you hadn't done it? Because you are dirty your own selves, me included. Me included. The reason we don't get excited about him is because we're down and out in this stuff ourselves. We're so burdened by this sin that we don't want to tell anybody about it. We're so unsure of it ourselves, we don't want to share it with nobody else. Listen, if I told you that there's a drugstore over here where Miss Louise works is giving away $1 million checks. I say, and we told you to be there Monday at 4:00, and everybody in line is going to get $1 million. I promise you something, every one of us would get off work early and we'd be over there, wouldn't we? Boy, we would flood that place down. You know why? Because that would be exciting news. That would be life-changing. I want to tell you something. There's nothing more life-changing today than the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more life-changing than salvation through the one true God. There's nothing more that will change you than getting right with the Savior. Amen. It's the best news. It's more than $1 million. $1 million will pass away quickly in this world. This lasts forever. This is eternal. The reason we're not telling it, because we are dirty our own selves. Dirty before God. You see, David just realized this when Nathan confronted him. When Nathan confronted him, David had enough God about him to confess it. He confessed it before God. But boy, ain't you proud of the grace and the mercy of God? Because the next thing he tells Nathan to go tell him about his sin. So Nathan goes tells him. And then when David is done confessing, he says, I have sinned before God. And I have sinned. Nathan said, I got some good news for you, David. You're not going to die. God hadn't killed you. God hadn't done away with you. You're going to suffer the consequences of your sin in your family from here on out, but you are still God's. You're still spiritually alive. God hadn't done away with you. You're still saved today. But listen, you're going to have to suffer some consequences. I want to tell you something, church. Every single sin you commit has great consequences. From the very first sin of Adam and Eve, all the way to the ones that the preciousest person in here commits today, it'll have a consequence. It does not go unpaid. Does not go unpaid. Every sin has a consequence. So we must be confronted. We must confess it. We must be converted. We see all this, like I tell you, confessions. I told you the other day about the Southern Baptists. Last Sunday I was here, I preached about all the numbers that they've had and how they've added all these churches and all these things, and yet baptism numbers are down. And I thought about this the whole week I was on my trip, and I was around people from other denominations and other beliefs and all this other stuff from out our whole country. And I began seeing this thing, and truly I began understanding something, that we got a bunch of confessions, but very few conversions. Only person can change a heart is Jesus Christ. I can sit up here with the prettiest invitation you ever seen. And boy, there's some preachers that's great at invitation services. They let them go for so much time, I'm not down them, I'm just saying they do. And you can play the music that'll prick that heart. You can play some music that'll really get your emotions going. I want to tell you something. Unless Jesus Christ gets a hold of you, you will not be converted. Amen. You'll turn over a new leaf. You know what happens when you turn over a new leaf? Same things that happens on New Year's Eve. Tomorrow, I'm losing weight. Monday comes. This is the day. You do pretty good Monday. Tuesday, not so good. Wednesday, not as good. Thursday, not good at all. By Friday, we're eating ice cream again. What happens when you turn over a new leaf? When God converts you, there must be a difference. If you have a confession without a conversion, you're making the word of God a liar, and it don't lie. It says, behold, you become a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Yes, you still struggle with sin. Don't let any preacher or anybody else tell you that once you're saved that you should not have any more sinful desires. That is a lie. That's a lie. You will battle this from now on. But bless God, once you're saved and clean, there should be a difference. There should be a difference. And church, I don't know about you. I'm ready to see some work of God. God is sending people to our church. He's sending people. It's amazing what he's done. It's amazing. Do you know what? If you truly want to see God work, you come before him and you confess that sin. And you cry out to him, and God will begin doing some converting. He did it in scriptures. He's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to ask you today, do you have any sin in your life that's not confessed? Any sin? You probably have not ever done what David did, because we would be in prison. David was responsible for killing Uriah. He had him murdered, took his wife. Yes, David paid for those consequences. There's still repercussions from that over there, even today. But me and you today, we live in a time of grace. We've been given God's amazing grace. All that you've done in the past, I've had people tell me that I can't be saved, I've done too much. I can't be right with God, I've done too much. There's no way I can ever come, and God can use me again because I've done too much. If you've been in this place right now and you ever killed a man, and people have, got a friend that has, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you have, you're in there with David. If you've ever committed adultery, you're in there with David. And by the way, I want to tell you something. Every one of us have committed those sins. The Bible says if you've looked on a woman lust after, if you conceive sin in your heart. The Bible says if you hateth the person, you committed murder. You see, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. We stand the same place David does. Church, it's time we become broken. It's only done when we get earnest with God. We let God change our hearts and mold us and make us into what he has us to be. If you would stand as they come with a verse of song. You want to be used of God. You want our church to be used of God. You confess those sins. You cry out to God. You confess them, ask him to forgive you from them. You get up and you go forward. No longer does that thing got a hold of you. Boy, that's a great thing. Why in the world do we drag this stuff around? Why do we keep burdened down by sin all these years? I've known people who has went with this stuff 40 and 50 years of sin they committed and won't let go of it. And it drags them down. It pulls them down. And once you confess that thing and he forgives you of it, it is gone. It's gone. Maybe you're here this morning. You've confessed it, but you're still letting it hold you back. Let go of that sin. Become what God has made you to be. This morning, if you don't know him, I beg you to come at this time and cry out to him and ask him to forgive you of those sins and cleanse you and make you whole. And I promise you he will. If you've been saved and you've got sin in your life that don't belong there, listen, the Bible says any unrighteousness is sin. It don't have to be adultery. It don't have to be this. You know what's right and wrong. Anything in your life that's sin, you come down, you give it to God, and you get rid of it. It will hold you down. It will kill you. It will destroy you. You come at this time as he sings.